Blog Talk Radio.
Crossover Radio, tying the community together.
Yo, I had to reinvent. I put the V in vent. I put the heat in vents. Man, I've been competing since. I look beyond what people saying and I see intent. Then I just sit back and decipher what they really meant. Cherish these nights. Cherish these people. Life is a movie, but there'll never be a sequel. And I'm good with that. As long as I'm peaceful. As long as 7 years from now I'm taking my daughter to preschool. Cherish these days. Man, do they go quick. Just yesterday, I swear it was 06. 10 years ago, that's when you proposed. I looked down. Yes, I suppose.
Yeah, welcome to the stadium. Crossover Radio. It's Boss Claus and Miss Jada.
Jada J. Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's going on? So why don't you go ahead and tell us what the show is about tonight?
Okay, well, tonight we have a special guest that's going to be tuning in with us, Shamequa Holesquaw. For those who you don't know who she is, she was once named the Michael Jordan of the women's game, played at Tennessee under Pat Summitt, went on to play in the WNBA, and just was a monster for the women's game in general. Shamequa now is moved on and doing a lot of big things and a lot of great things for the world. And we'll touch into some of those subjects later on in the evening.
All right, all right. So sounds like we got a nice show in store this evening. I'm going to fall back and let you ladies do what y'all do. And I'm going to just listen, you know, and I'll play Robin to your Batman tonight.
All right, but this your girl. Like, y'all cool people. You probably have insight that I don't even know about, Keith.
I don't have much more insight than the next person, you know. But, hey, like I said earlier in the text to you, you know, shit, you just as talented as anybody else at this, so why not fall back and let you do your thing?
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Are you into football at all, Keith?
I'm a diehard Steelers fan. We lost our running back. We lost our quarterback right after getting him back. But we beat the sorry Raiders yesterday, and I'll take that.
Steelers. Ben did go down. Ben went down. Well, when did he go down? Do you remember? And it was an ankle injury, I think.
Oh, foot injury. Alden Smith landed on his foot awkwardly, and, you know, they said it's a sprain and that he'll be out a couple weeks at the most.
Okay.
So it's all right. It's all right. You know, our producer, Ms. Key Styles, she's a diehard 49ers fan. Poor thing. They're struggling. So we're not going to
really
talk too much about them. Yeah, we're not going to talk too much about them because, you know, they don't deserve too much conversation right now.
They balled out last year. You got to give them some props, though. Anything?
Hey, that was last year.
That was last year.
it's a new year. It's a new year. They balled out last year, and they fell out this year.
What's your boy, quarterback?
Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, he's sitting over there in the bench.
Kaepernick, man.
Yeah, he. You know, right now he's the key boss of football. He's bench warming.
I mean, he's just having an off season this year. Are we allowed one of those? Can he get one of those?
You know, we are, but as professional athletes, they expect so much out of us, and when we don't produce, they go ahead and they sit us down. They try something new. They try to get
the
next management.
Do you think he'll have a job next year with 49ers? You think they're going to let him go?
Go ahead.
No. I'm listening.
I don't know if they'll be so quick to get rid of him. You know, I mean, he's just had one bad year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's done so much for that franchise in a little bit of time and brought that old excitement back. You know,
exactly.
And you know. And that's what they're missing. Unfortunately, they don't have the same level of talent this year. They lost some people due to retirement and, you know, early retirement players, you know, that decided they protect themselves against head injuries and further body damage, and they walked away from the game. You got guys who were traded or guys who were released, you know. Alden Smith, the defensive end that took out my quarterback, former 49er. You know, he was one of those great defensive players for the 49ers, you know. That's another person that they got rid of. They got rid of Jim Harbaugh,
the coach. Definitely did. Let him go.
And that was foolish, and he's found success over at the University of Michigan.
You think he'll bounce back anywhere else?
Oh, eventually. But right now, he's going to have a good time developing the talent down there in the college ranks.
Yeah, definitely. What you think about these Broncos, man?
Tough loss. Tough loss for the Broncos.
Tough loss. Peyton.
He started off on fire, too. Peyton's been struggling this year. Throwing a lot of interceptions. And, you know, he's lost a little arm strength. But he showed a little bit of that strength last night on a deep strike to Emmanuel Sanders, you know, just to remind him of who he was, you know. And, you know, these guys can shine at any moment. We're pro. That's what we do. But we all going to have a hot night. You know,
okay,
you look at the Green Bay Packers.
While we're on the Broncos real quick, let me talk about your guy, Talib, who gets suspended for poking your boy in the eye. Did you see that play, Keith?
Yeah, and you know what? You do whatever you can do, whatever you can get away with to get the advantage out there in the playing field. You know, I said, I don't know how it was for y'all on the court, you know, but during my games, I've been hitting the groin while going to set a screen on a guard. You know, that guard would hit me, well, that four would hit me in the groin rather than allow me to set a screen on him. So,
jeez.
You know, it happens. It happens. You know, it happens. And it's all a matter of whether or not you're going to get caught doing it. He got caught.
That's what it is. But it was foolish. Like you said,
yeah,
he got caught.
It was foolish, and he probably didn't think he was going to get caught.
And frustration. Yeah. They were losing seconds ago.
Yeah, and you've got to look at Ndamukong Suh when he was with the Detroit Lions and his shenanigans, you know, stomping on people's legs and, you know, kicking helmets, you know, kicking guys in the head, you know.
But
they
here's how they transfer that. Like, football is such an aggressive sport. Like, and the harder you hit, the more, you know, celebrated you are. So does the NFL, like, you know, now they give restrictions to how you hit? He's a dirty player. Now he's with Miami. But he's always been a dirty player. So they knew that coming into it.
Yeah, and all you can hope is that the person's going to change. You just hope that a person's going to mature and they're going to change. You know, you got to look at football back in the 60s and the 50s and the 70s, you know, when you were allowed to grab a dude by the helmet, by the face mask and tackle him.
You're
allowed to horse collar a guy. You were allowed to pick him up and body slam him if it meant you were going to stop him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they had to change those rules in the late 70s, early 80s. You know, because more and more people were getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of guys that I speak to today who played back in that era when it was really, really rough, you know, when it wasn't a penalty for that stuff, when it was just considered hard-nosed football, you know, they look at the guys today and say, oh, these guys are soft, you know, because,
the game has had to change.
We didn't get penalized. We didn't get penalized, and we had lesser padding than them. And we did this and we did that, just like with basketball players today. And looking at the fouls and how they call flagrants, compared to how back in the day it was just get your two shots. You know, as the time changes,
shake it up. Yeah.
The old school guys, you know, they begin to think, oh, that you know, this new bunch, they just don't have it. They're just soft. You know, Talib made a dumb move.
Yeah, dumb move.
He made a dumb move, plain and simple, at the end of the day. And it might cost his wallet. It might cost him one game check.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll think about that. Hopefully he will.
He's a big part of that team's defense as well.
Yeah, definitely is.
His leadership
is pretty good.
Yeah.
So, but then in the moment, you just get caught up. Like, I can't say I've ever been that caught up, though, to actually go out of my way to poke somebody in the eye. That's pretty intense. But
what's the worst thing you've seen?
The worst thing I've ever done?
Well, the worst thing you've experienced or seen, you know, while you were playing.
Oh, one year we were playing Virginia Tech at Fordham University. They were ranked. And we were giving them the business. I think this game I went like 10 for 11 from the floor. We were clicking. My other big girl, Vanessa, my point guard, Monica, we were all just clicking, giving Virginia Tech the business. Play went down that my point guard, Monica Mack, is punched or somehow hit in the face where her nose is broken. And she's flying out of bounds. As Monica sits up, like blood is gushing from her nose. It has to be escorted out the game. And one of the girls whichever one it was, they're laughing, they're joking, and I kind of just went red. One, you're not going to blatantly hurt my point guard. That's my little bit right there. Two,
yeah.
You're not going to laugh about it. You're not going to be that disrespectful. And mind you, again, I am bawling. But as soon as the play was that we shot our free throws, made both of them, I think we're up at this point in time. And I wasn't thinking. I got carried away, and I just hacked the hell out of somebody. I don't know who this girl was. I don't even think she was a girl who broke Monica's nose. But you're just not going to do that. But again, I was young, and I wasn't thinking. And this is in college. So when professionally playing overseas came along, I really wasn't doing too much like that. I kind of knew, you know, you can't go around, you know, physically hitting somebody. Now, my game, I talked a lot of trash. I would get into your head and take you completely out of the game. But physically, not. Once it got to the pros, I was a different player. I think so. I was more mature, I should say.
That's right. That's right.
What was this?
You know,
I'm cute. I'm intrigued to know.
Hey, Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, they stayed undefeated. They moved up to 8-0 after beating Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. You know, and,
Cam is looking amazing this year. Amazing,
yeah,
he is.
Yeah, he is. He's really showing his growth and maturity as a football player, as a leader. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the second straight loss for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. What's going on with them?
And what's crazy is it's been debated that Aaron Rodgers, just based on numbers right now, Aaron Rodgers is like being said, called the Michael Jordan of the game right now, based on numbers and percentage and turnover ratios and touchdown ratios. Like, that's crazy, but that's two back-to-back for Aaron. How will they bounce back? How will they
right.
bounce back?
Yeah, it's going to be surprising to see what they do within the next few weeks here. You know, they got some big games coming up, and they got to step up. They got to step up, otherwise, you know, it's just going to go all bad for them.
Did you see your boy Teddy Bridgewater had a hard hit on Sunday? Literally was knocked out. Did not return to the game with a concussion. But pray that he's well and everything works out. That concussions in the football. A lot of teams, a lot of high schools are being cut because parents aren't letting their children play football any longer. In Jersey alone, three high school football teams were just cut this year because they didn't have the numbers to sustain the team. But pray that Teddy Bridgewater is well, just everything works out for him.
Yeah,
that's
no
a,
doubt.
That's
no
another
doubt.
Amazing talent, another amazing talent, young man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's another unfortunate loss. You know, hey, they know what to do. They got the best medical personnel, the best medical staff, you know. So they'll make sure these guys are right and ready for whenever they return to the field. You know, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, they're still undefeated as well.
Oh, yes, they are. Tom Brady. Who do they have? Giants coming up, don't they? Or the Jets?
Yeah. It's going to be a tough game. I would like to think it's going to be a tough game, that Eli and them will give them a tough game, you know, only because they have in the past. But especially since I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, it's the only time I'm going to root for the midgets, you know.
Don't do that. You are
They got Jason Pierre. They got Jason Pierre-Paul back.
Oh.
You know,
and
that
was an intense, I felt, being a – I guess I would be a Giants fan. I'm not sure. I pretty much just love the game. I'm not sure if I can call myself a Giants fan. But the midgets, Keish, you can't join in with this, Keish. But JPP, y'all haters, y'all. JPP looked kind of unstable. Like, he just was a little off. And I don't know if it was a glove or him having to adjust his whole entire game or – what it is, but hopefully we'll see him, you know, make adjustments in his game, get back to where it was. Well, can it get back to where it was with him only having, what, how many fingers does he have now? Three? Am I being a creep? Probably.
You know, who we got for Monday Night Football? Chicago Bears and San Diego Chargers. I'm not even in front of the television right now. I couldn't even tell you what the score is. But
the score right now is 13.
I'm going for
oh,
the Bears, you know, the Chargers and the AFC. And any time anyone in the AFC loses, that's good for me and my Pittsburgh Steelers. So I'm definitely going for Jay Cutler and the Bears. Who's winning right now?
San Diego, 13 zip. Yep, 9. It's 9 minutes and 58 seconds, second quarter. Second, yeah.
Well, I need San Diego to just lay down and, you know, go and move out the way. I'll be very pleased with that. I'm very, very excited about tonight's show. You know, I've been wanting to get Shamiqua on here for quite a while. Since we first started up, you know, and this is gonna be awesome. This is gonna be awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited. This is one of my, I've grown up watching Meek play. She's a little bit older than me, so she was one of those players that we idolized coming up, and she completely changed the women's game, in my opinion, with her game. She just brought a whole new dynamic to women's basketball and what she did over there at Tennessee with Coach Summit and that whole run of Tennessee. And women's basketball, we had a lot of great years, and people still sleep on us. That whole Tennessee run, UConn run, we've had great basketball.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the 90s was a very exciting time for women's college basketball. And you know what? And so the early 2000s. And even these past, you know, 5 years from 2010 to 2015, it's been very exciting. You know, you had a chance to see Notre Dame creep up in there and win a title. You know, it hasn't been just the usual powerhouses of UConn, Tennessee, and Stanford, you know, that were running the table. You know, other girls are stepping up. Other ladies are stepping up as well. And, you know, they're getting the job done.
Oh, Coach Staley down at Carolina now. It's going to be a problem. Carolina's looking pretty tough. South Carolina's looking pretty tough this year. North Carolina's looking good.
And Staley wasn't no joke even when she was playing in Virginia.
Oh, no. Coach Staley was I call it Coach Staley because he coached at Temple when I was at Fordham. So Coach Staley was a beast. That's another woman, like, we idolized. And then she was from the street, you know. She had that little edge with her. Like, we could identify with Coach Staley. The only reason I did not get picked to go to Temple University because my hair wasn't long enough. It's a joke that we have in the A-10 is that all the Coach Staley girls look just like her with them long ponytails down their necks, down their backs, and this little swagger that they had on them. Clearly my ponytail was not long enough for Coach Staley to take me. It's okay. Me and Candace Dupree used to go head-to-head in the A-10. So. But looking forward to seeing what South Carolina does. I got a girl from Shabazz that's down there playing on the team. Got a kid that's another kid from Shabazz High School, the high school I graduated from, at St. John's, Leah Hanford. She is definitely a problem. She is a problem, and she is picked to be Big East Player of the Year, preseason Player of the Year. So we're really looking forward to seeing what she can do at St. John's this year in the Big East.
All right.
Keith, I'm sorry, man. Don't get me started on women's basketball. I can go. Then.
Hey, I understand. It's all right. I wouldn't be the one to hold you back either. You know, hopefully we can get some more of these ladies to join the show as well down the line. Because it's important, you know, that they be given a platform as well. You know,
definitely.
And it's not all about the men. You know, this is such a male-dominated
world. Period.
Yeah, it is, you know, and it's about time that, you know, that you ladies get a chance to stand up as well, you know, and that y'all get the recognition that y'all deserve, because y'all got some beasts out here, and it's, you know, y'all doing a damn thing.
Like,
and it's
really
about time that y'all get the recognition that you deserve.
I find it hilariously funny where guys wear regular Joe Smoes to tell, you know, professional basketball players, oh, I kick your ass, this and the third. And you have players like a LeBron James or a Chris Paul or Carmelo that understands and respects like Maya Moore or Tina Charles or, you know, any of these top. They understand the game, but you got these regular guys that's kicking the games back. And like, yo, you can never, like, hold my sneakers on the court, dude. Like, if you're not paying me to play you, I'm not playing you. So go ahead about your business and keep it moving.
Right.
But guys are funny, and you just got, the number one pickup line that I hear all the time, still to this day, is I'll play you one-on-one for your heart. Please. That was so high school. Go ahead and get another pickup line, guys. Please, please try something new.
Oh, man, nice. So they thirsty for these athletes, huh? I guess they're trying to get an opportunity. You know, the joke was back in the day that we had to look out for the women who are trying to get an NBA All-Star as a deal. Now we got to look out for the dudes who are trying to do the same, huh?
Oh, the guys are thirsty out here. It's serious. I'm sure some women could definitely give you their stories. Yeah, the guys are thirsty. My Facebook inbox is, pretty interesting.
Hey, I had a few crushes back in the day. You know, I had a few crushes, you know, that played women's basketball. And
okay,
I ain't gonna talk
drop
about
a name.
It.
Oh, you
I ain't
you
gonna
can't
talk
read
about
it.
It. No. I ain't gonna talk about it, but I had a few crushes back in the day. And,
You can't just say
that
and leave us wanting some more, Keith.
I'm just gonna leave it at that. I had a few crushes back in the day. I'm not willing to go ahead and put those ladies out there like that. Yeah,
I mean,
I'm willing to do some things.
I'm saying, y'all would have had some LeBrons, I'm sure. Some Mayas, some. Me, y'all would have better procreate, Keith. You out here tripping. Your DNA with a WNBA star?
I was out here tripping. That's the only reason why it ain't happened. I think I scared most of them away from me anyway, because I was just too wild. I was too unpredictable.
Yeah, Keith.
Give us some initials.
An issue. One person's initial.
H-E-R.
H-E-R,
A-T-R. H-E-R.
You're going to
say
middle initial?
I'm going to say which her.
You're a creep.
I'm
going to
say which her. Yeah. I'm going to say which her, but it was a her.
H-E-R.
Yeah.
And you really got me over here thinking, like, who H-E-R? Who is that? I don't know who that is.
And I still got to order my Creep Life T-shirts for my cousin Demetra Claw. Oh, man, I can't wait. I'm going to be rocking them.
Oh, let me get a Creep Life T-shirt. Okay. I got to hit you up to meet you. I'm in there. I'm in that inbox.
Yeah. Claw family. We dipping and dabbling in everything. All kind of talents. Hey, happy birthday to Jamil Claus, Wesley Claus.
Happy birthday, y'all. Naeem.
And Naeem Claus. I'm going to leave him alone right now. Happy birthday, Cuzzo.
Wait, Keith, one more. Did you see that Derek? No, wait. Before I go even touch Derek Fisher, how do you feel about Kobe in his last season?
Hey, you know, he's trying to live up to his own expectations, let alone the expectations that the rest of society has on him. And, you know, he won't be satisfied until he's back at the plateau that he thinks he belongs on.
You think that ship has sailed?
Do I think what?
That ship has sailed for Kobe.
No, not yet. Not yet. Oh. He's a, you know, it's that competitive nature in him. And he won't sit down until he's ready to sit down, just like Michael Jordan didn't want to sit down until he was ready to sit down. You know, it's even hard for me to, you know, at times to just all the way back out of the game, because there's such a tremendous love and respect for the game and everything that is done for me and exposed me to in life. You know, especially, yeah, I mean, basketball got me to this point in my life today where I'm able to mentor other professional athletes and other up-and-coming athletes, and not just the athletes themselves, but people in general, you know, who are going through things in life. And it's a lot easier at times when you have somebody who's been through some things that's on a higher level come back down to earth and share it with you. And not so much come back down to earth, but let you know that they ain't never left earth, that they, you know, just as humble as you, just that they're the same person as you are, they just have a different job. You know,
I personally think Kobe might, I just don't want to see him, you know, he's just struggling right now. And these young kids might not, if he continues to play like this, they're not going to remember the Kobe Bryant that is Kobe Bryant. They're going to remember this broke down airball shooting layup guy that's just not Kobe right now. We're not even seeing a full Kobe Bryant. We're not seeing it.
That's what YouTube is for. That's why they know who Michael Jordan is. It ain't just a shoe. But we got our caller here, 678. Welcome to the stadium. Hello, caller, you there? Hello?
Hello, we here?
Oh, 678, it's Shamequa. 678 number.
Yeah.
Hey, Meek, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, sweetie? How you doing, Fish?
Hey, Keith, I'm doing well. A little sick, but, you know, I'm making it.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight, y'all.
Thank you.
No problem.
I know last week was a last-minute thing, and that's why as soon as Jada went ahead with that post last week, I tagged you in it immediately. I didn't want to let another opportunity slide by.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, whatever.
Before we go into anything, go ahead, Jada.
No, Keith, go for it.
That's right. No, I'm just going to sit back and let you ladies have the floor because, you know, like I said earlier in the show, it's about time that, you know, see, guys, we get a chance to go ahead and run our mouths all the time. I'm all about equality, so I'm going to let you ladies go ahead and do your thing, and I'm going to just sit back.
Okay, thanks so much, Keith. All right, Meek, thanks for just being on our show here tonight. I know you said you were a little sick earlier, so we're going to get you through this. Tonight's topic is about, what you've been doing pretty much with your career after basketball and everything that went on. You've been speaking about mental health issues, and not only in athletes, but just shining a light on that period. Would you like to just dive into some of the things that you have been doing and the amazing things you've been doing in your camps and all that, in Mind Games, your movie?
Oh, yes. Well, since let me take you back for a second. You know, since 2007, when I was playing with the Sparks, and I had really, really bad bout with depression and actually had a suicide attempt, I made it through that. I remember it was like an awful night. I was like rushed to the hospital. And the fact that I made it through and a doctor came and talked to me, and I could have had a lot of bad things happen to me, like seizures. You know, I could have lost use of my hands and face paralysis. And I walked away, you know, healthy. And I knew that from that point on, I didn't want anyone to suffer in silence like I had. So I just really wanted to use my platform for change. It was something that I've struggled with since I was a kid, so it wasn't something that was just new. I just kind of swept it under a rug like a lot of us do when things are going good. We don't deal with our issues, but ultimately, you know, it just caught up with me, and it really, really affected me and took me to a different place. And, you know, I knew that I needed help. And again, you know, I'm used to being an athlete. I can teach myself how to get quicker. I can lift. You know, I know how to control my body. What really messed me up is not really understanding how to control my mind. And I think a lot of us deal with that. We're like in denial. And so I'm like, okay, I would get better. Then I'm like, okay, I'm fine. I can you know, go out there operating on my own. I don't need to take meds or anything. And I just kept having these, I want to say, like, relapses, you know, and they would get worse and worse.
Okay, I have a question. Like, how much shame, guilt, or pressure did you put on yourself being an athlete trying to deal with these or maybe, you know, covering that you're having these issues?
A lot. I mean, you know, we're all athletes here, and we know that, you know, we don't want everyone in our business, you know. We try to be very, very private, but it's also us being African Americans. We are taught to whatever goes on in our household, we keep on our household, girl. Don't you tell nobody what's going on.
So,
you know, I know I was brought up that way. So when I started to experience these things, you know, I was walking around like, I don't want to air my dirty laundry. I don't want anyone to know my secrets. And I really think that, you know, added a pressure to me, because you start thinking, oh, my God, does everybody know? And I started to become very, very paranoid.
Okay. While you were at Tennessee, did you not feel like you were comfortable enough to go to your coaches with this? Or you were just, you just were very paranoid and did not want to come to them?
Well, college is a different experience. You know, growing up, like, again, when my grandmother realized I was struggling with it, she got me the help that I needed, and my grandmother was very nurturing. The same thing at Tennessee, you know, is very protective environment. Coach Summit was there. You know, I told her I was struggling with these things. They got me a sports psychiatrist and, you know, helped it the best way it could. But you got to understand, it's like, you know, high school and those things, I'm worried about grades. My grandmother's there. My family's there. I have so much support. I think for me, where it started really getting bad is when, you know, I graduated from my grandmother to college to going pros, and here I am, you know, living on my own, you know, definitely in these big cities. It was a lot more coming at me. And then the thing that really triggered everything was when I finally started getting it together. It took me, like, probably like a, you know, first two seasons to kind of figure it out and get things together and how to cope. My grandmother passed away, and that just really, you know, was my trigger. A lot of times, you know, things trigger people. It can, you know, can be passing. Everybody has different triggers. For me, that was mine.
I know you recently just went to go see your grandmother's grave while you were home in New York. And how often you get back to see her or try to just, you know, spend that quality time with her when you're home?
Whenever I'm in New York, see, my grandmother, I don't know if, when you guys come into New York, if you ever fly LaGuardia, you see a large cemetery right there on the other side of the airport, and that's St. Michael's Cemetery, so it's no excuse. You know, I remember when I used to, you know, when I was playing professional or I had, like, to come in town for business, the drivers were, like, take me straight to their grave, and so I kind of, you know, make it the same thing. My family picks me up. We go by there, or if I'm, you know, staying in Harlem or something, I just drive down to make sure I go spend some time with her.
Okay. I myself have definitely, you know, dealt with depression through the late years. Different situations with, like you said, being athletes and the pressure we put on ourselves and just where we are in life. I found that just like, although I did not play in the WNBA, I did play professionally overseas. But for me, I found that once the game stopped, there was a whole new, you know, world that I wasn't equipped to deal with. And I know a lot of athletes go through these things. And I feel that, you know, the men's side have a lot of different programs to kind of help them. It's up to them to take a part of it. But do we as women have those same programs? Do we have those same opportunities?
You're talking about in a professional level?
In a professional level, yes.
I think now, yes, there are programs now, especially with the National Retired Players Basketball Association, you know, really discussing a transition piece and offering support and aid. And again, you know, for us, you know, women's pro basketball is relatively still young, and so, you know, we're still learning how to put the pieces together, how to make it, you know, sustainable professional league. And when I say sustainable, it's not just about what you put on the court. It's about offering the other things outside of basketball, the support, you know, units, you know, teaching people about, you know, finances and teaching people about the transition piece, life coaching, all that stuff. So now I'm starting to see it because now we're growing up, you know. The league is growing.
You know,
we got
we're almost 20 years in.
Right, yeah. Right. And you have to realize now, too, it's been a lot of pressure on these sports leagues to supply, you know, a mental wellness platform.
Yeah.
And that whole transition piece is a part of it.
Okay. Well, while we're in the WNBA, you see the president has stepped down, and now it's a gap of who's going to step up and take over, you know, that role. But what do you, president, can do to help gain more notoriety for the WNBA? Like, I feel like the commercials are rocking. Like, when the playoff was going on, I think the campaign was I Can or I Will or something like that, and it brought me back to the inaugural season of the WNBA where it was just excitement. I know you kind of grew up in that area. You were drafted. So what do you think, mm-hmm. you know, the new president can do to help continue to gain a respect for women's basketball?
Wow. First of all, you know, I think for us, it's putting that, you know, good talent out on the floor across the board. I think for a long time, women had to learn how to be professional players. In a sense, it's just being in shape, you know, coming in. I think that limits, you know, injuries, and so you have your best players out there. I think it has to be something in place where they can, you know, help these women, in a sense, you know, make money in the off season, because you're going to end up losing a lot of your star players, because Europe is paying them not to play.
Did Diana play this season? I don't think she played, right? No,
she didn't. And Candace took off a half a season. So here you go. You got two of the league's brightest stars. And so if they don't start, like, figuring out how to grow this league, I think one thing is, I know you don't want to put less of a product out on the court, or you don't want the women to feel less of a product, but it's an honor. You know, I could say I played in probably, you know, most of the NBA arenas, you know, at least practice there, but they're too big, and it's too big, and the women aren't drawing that many fans. I remember when I first went to D.C., I mean, we were getting 12,000 to 15,000 a game. Like, that's unheard of now. I mean, I think the league attendance average is, like, around 6,000. So,
wow.
You know, you gotta try to figure out how to get more people in the seats. And I think that the players, you know, we have to do our part, too. And that's, you know, continue to be engaging with the fans. I remember years ago, you know, I don't know if y'all are familiar with the 12th Street Tunnel in D.C., and I was driving through, and, you know, D.C., they have, like, this is a funny story, they have officers, like, right at the top, and I think the speed limit was, like, 40, and I was going 50, and they pulled me over, right? And so I'm like, oh, man. And he goes, you know, you were going, like, 10 miles over, and I'm like, yeah. But he goes, you know what, I'm going to let you go. He goes, because you guys, after every game, I bring my daughter, and unlike when I go to the NBA games, you always stop and sign my daughter's autograph. So just because of that, I'm going to let you go. And I was like, okay, yes, sir.
Definitely go. I'm out of here. Thank you, sir.
Right. But, you know, we definitely have to remember that that's what sells. And I think sometimes that's not one of our selling points. And I think sometimes now the younger generation, we don't see that. We think, oh, man, because we started, you know, making some money and things of that sort, we don't have to do those same things. And I remember players like Cheryl Swoops, Lisa Leslie, myself, you know, the back in the day, man, we'd be out there after games signing autographs for, you know, maybe like an hour or so. And nowadays, it's like everybody kind of, you know, has, I won't say everyone, scattered, you know, they want to get out of there quickly. It's, you know, you got to know, hey, what will help you win the hearts of the fans.
Definitely. Well, bouncing from WNBA, I want to go into a little bit of Tennessee.
Oh, wait, one more last thing. I want to cut you off, but oh, I forgot one last thing. It's the sponsorships and the partnerships that are unique to the WNBA. We have to get those, and they can't always be linked to the NBA. You know,
that's,
you have
so
to
true.
We have to, like, you know, own what makes the WNBA, like, unlike any other professional league. And that's, you know, like I said, you know, being fan friendly and things like that. But those sponsorships and partnerships are important, you know, because you can't just piggyback off of the NBA. You have to go for your own, you know?
I know, but I've grown up in New Jersey, and my local team is the Liberty. So as a kid, my high school coach, Ms. Watson, used to take us to the Liberty games. He used to get the balls from Kim Hampton and Sue Wicks and Teaspoon and hanging out with all these players. And then fast forward where some years ago, the Liberty had Essence, Cap, and Kiavon, who all went to Rutgers University, who all are local girls, and we could not get any fans in the stands, like, at all. And I'm wondering how, where you have these college teams, I'm trying to transition into the college game, you know, you went to Tennessee, so your fans used to travel all over the world to watch you guys play. I wonder why they won't do that for the WNBA players. I wonder just why that is. But bouncing into college ball, Tennessee, you guys are ranked number 4 in the AP preseason top 25. I know you're proud. Have you spoke to Coach Summit these days and, you know, dealing with her about what, dementia?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I go every time I go to Knoxville, you know, I visit with her. And, you know, just sitting there spending some time with her. Of course, you know, this is something that has really, you know, affected our Lady Vol family. But, you know, she's well taken care of. You know, she has the best doctor. She's comfortable. And one thing we can do is just be there when we're with her, just enjoy the moment.
Okay, okay. And I know you touched on a little bit earlier. She was very supportive of you, you know, while you were in Tennessee. In some way, did Coach help you through the hard times with your grandmother? Was she around for that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I mean, Coach Summit is like a second mom. And I tell you, that's why I think that she is considered the best women's basketball coach ever, such an icon, is because what made her iconic is not just the basketball wins, it's how she ran her program and how she treated her players. I mean, anyone could come by the house, could stay. You know, her house was your house. You know, you call her, you know, she's going to pick up the phone. She's going to try to help you. She was just very involved that we could all turn to her. And I'm sure, you know, you talk to, you know, 100 players, you know, at least 99 is going to tell you the same thing. You know, it's just like just an amazing, amazing lady. And, you know, she was there for me. I mean, sometimes she told me things I didn't want to hear, things that were going to make me stronger. But I think the thing that she taught me the most is, you know, Shamiqua, is like your character speaks volumes. You're one of the most genuine and caring people I know. So no matter what you go through, you know, there are bumps in life, but you can't let anyone, you know, take that away from you or who you are. You know, she's like, you fall down and you get right back up. And so I always remember that, those little things that, you know, she taught me.
Moving forward a little bit, you were just recently featured on CNN about your mentally driven camp and what you're doing around the – could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, a part of my foundation or whatever, Shamiqua Holsko Foundation, is that we do basically life skills clinics for kids, but we use basketball as kind of, you know, the thing to kind of draw them in. And what I really want these kids to do is really just open up about who they are and their emotions and the various feelings and, you know, teaching them how to cope with things. You know, you hear kids talk about being bullied, kids talking about, you know, problems that they're having at home. We want them there. And necessarily, it's me just sitting in. You know, I have to bring professionals in to kind of make it fun. And, they play games. But this is really great, you know, listening to, you know, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, you know, on up say, hey, you know what, I hate when my friends bully me. It makes me feel this way. And they describe the emotions. You know, we play different games. And, you know, I always have, like, a psychologist there, you know, some other professionals. And it's just very rewarding to me because, honestly, I love the game of basketball. I mean, it's done so much for me. But, you know, I just know it's much more in life, you know. And I want to just really help these kids to be able to be good citizens, because it's different from – back when I was growing up, you know, these kids don't play outside. They stay on social media all day. And, you know, they're bullied through social media. They feel like if they don't have the new Jordans, that they're not anything. So they're not as mentally tough, you know, generation. Yeah, they're very fragile.
Different
so
breed,
we
yes.
have to, yeah, we have to kind of, I don't want to say coddle them, but really just try to, you know, talk to them and try to instill some confidence in them at a young age.
I just noticed how your whole spirit just kind of just lit up speaking of these kids. Did you ever think about coaching at some point in your career?
Oh, man, you know what? Everyone always asks me that question. I do. I love being around basketball, but honestly, I see myself more doing something like student life. It's really working hands-on with the students and student athletes. I mean, I think I would be cheating myself if, you know, or just if I was just with a basketball team all day, because, you know, as coaches, you can't really, you know, you can't really just be there for the kid like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's a little tougher.
You know, I feel like if I'm outside of it, you know, more like a counseling aspect, they can come in and come and talk to me. And plus, you know, basketball coaching, it takes up a lot of your time.
a lot of time and a lot of energy.
Yeah, so
I coached college high school. Yeah. So yeah. Uh-huh. And I turned down some jobs in Newark for coaching because I really want to start a program for female athletes to help them transition from basketball into the real world. Like, all of us don't – I was lucky enough to, you know, play professionally overseas. A lot of us don't have that opportunity. And if you go to a mid-major school, they're not pumping a lot into, you know, after basketball, I should say. So I just took a step back. Like you said, I want to do more than – I know I can always coach, but I just want to do more for these kids out here. It's a lot – it's so much more to be done. And it all deals with sports, bring it back to sports.
I'm saying it does. And what we have to realize as women, one thing that we have that works for us, the majority of us go to these universities and schools, and we do get our degree. And it's like while we're in school, I always tell these teams that I talk to when I'm traveling on the road, you know, learn how to shake hands. Get business cards. Like, this is the one time in your life. Like, you're at, you know, these big universities. I don't know about y'all, but I couldn't pay for Tennessee if I wasn't on scholarship.
What? Girl, bye.
I don't know about y'all. But think about how like, if you would have known what you know now, how you would have really, you know, the shaking hands, all them boosters that come to your games, and they want to, you know, hey, I'm friends with you. Hey, let me take your card. Let me call you. Let me really try to intern for you or do something with you. And I encourage these young kids. I'm like, hey, only a small percent of us are going to get to play professional basketball. You got to look at other things.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. Just a couple more questions I have for you.
Okay.
What I know you have the My Games movie. I'm looking try to bring a screening to Newark, New Jersey, trying to set all that up. I haven't seen it. I tried to look online and see how to order it. Could you just tell the audience how they can go about seeing this amazing? I saw the trailer, and it looked amazing. Could you just tell us how we can try to get this movie, bring it to Newark, and get this out here, more publicity for this great movie?
Right. It's called Mind Game, The Unquiet Journey of Shaniqua Holzclaw, and it's won a bunch of awards at various film festivals. Mm-hmm. But the website for the film is called Kovno, and that's Kovno, communications.org. And that's where you can find out about the film, find out about upcoming screenings, and also find out how to purchase the DVD. But it's doing really well. You know, we're really getting a lot of exposure. I'm going to be at Fordham University for a screening. Actually, you went to Fordham. Yeah.
You said FU? Wait, Fordham University, why did I not know about this? I'm putting y'all on blast. Meek, when are you coming?
Yeah, this upcoming Thursday. And then I'll be at the Gold Coast Film Festival in Glen Clove, New York, which is right outside of Queens, this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
From 3 to 5.
That's where Ashanti's from. I don't think you know that. Ashanti, the singer.
Oh,
I'm a nerd.
Okay.
Don't judge me. I'm a nerd. Don't
All
do
right,
that.
Ashanti. Okay. Oh, baby. Okay. okay. We got Ashanti. But yeah, we at your school, Fordham. We're there from 4 to 6 on Thursday. So, yeah.
I'm going to have to be in the building, honey. Yes. While we're in this music, talking about Ashanti. I met you some years ago. You came to a Hofstra game. Coach Sylvia Crawley connected us. A lot of people don't know this about you, Meek, but you got bars out here in these streets, girl. I think you got another talent. I think you might as well just go ahead on and drop a single on SoundCloud and just change the world real quick. I think that needs to happen.
You know, I believe that. You know, I've been telling people that for years. You know, Master P tried to sign me. I was going to sign with No Limit Records out of college. But, you know, I just really want to focus on being an athlete. But, yo, you know, if y'all want to get at me, talk to my producer, Sylvia Crawley. You know, she's the coach at UNC Tar Heels Women's Basketball. But, you know, right now, you know, I'm under contract with her for my, you know, vocals and stuff. So I can't really just show that, give that to y'all right now. But, you know,
I'll
take it. It's all good. It's all good.
any more upcoming projects you want to tell our audience?
Well, you know, right now it's just basically doing stuff with the film. And, you know, outside of the film, since 2000, and I won't say it's probably since before I retired, when I didn't go overseas, I do, like, a lot of public speaking at universities. And it's not just about mental health advocacy, even though that's been a lot of it lately, but it's also about dealing with, you know, disabilities, because people don't understand that when you have a mental health issue, that is a disability, such as lupus, mm-hmm. such as cancer. And they, you know, they say, okay, bipolar, you're disabled. You have to fill that out on a job application. So a lot of people are discriminated against. So I speak for, you know, people with disabilities. Also, you know, overcoming obstacles, and that's something that we all have a story. We all have a story, you know, and that's why I always encourage people to share their journey, you know, opening your mouth. And even though some people are so shy, but I'm like, opening your mouth, man, you'll realize how many people can relate mm-hmm. to you, how many mm-hmm. people you can help. And so, you know, that's what I do. Also, I think I want to get into a little bit of acting. A couple people have hit me up a couple times. You know, Atlanta's like a little hot mm-hmm. pot right now for acting. So, you know, if opportunity presents itself, you know, I'm going to try. You know, I'm extra. I go into character a lot. I want to try it. You know, right now, let me tell you, and I'm sure Keith can attest to this, when you go through certain things and, you know, you have your high point, you know, you're living it up, you know, because we all had dreams as kids. And, you know, whether it was to play basketball, whatever, you make it there and you're like, you know, later you have other issues and things, and then you have that point where you drop down. But when you hit the ground and you bounce back up, I mean, I just think we all had second and third takes on life. And it's just like, you're just living, man. You're just happy in this journey. Mm-hmm. You just want to help others. And it's just mm-hmm. like, I've just evolved as a person, man. And I'm sure all of us have, you know, all of us have had our story. So I'm mm-hmm. just living right mm-hmm. now. I just want to do everything.
it's like you've gotten your second win.
Yes, yes.
Well, Meek, thank you so much for dropping in with us. Guys, if you guys aren't following Meek on Periscope and IG, I suggest you hop on it. What is your Twitter and Periscope handles and all that good stuff, Meek?
Oh, all my handles on social media is CHOLD1. That's CHOLD1. That's me, Instagram, Periscope, Twitter, Facebook. Yep, that's your Meek one.
All right, cool. Thanks so much, Meek.
All right,
Meek,
y'all take
care. Thank you so much.
We're taking back the youth games, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So
I wanted to play you one-on-one back then too, but you wasn't ready.
Oh, y'all played youth games?
I wasn't. Yeah,
I rocked in youth games for. I'm a little bit younger than y'all. I couldn't hang out with y'all yet, but yeah, youth games with that. Damn.
Yeah, we were at the United States Olympics Festival in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It was some serious talent. There was some serious talent out there.
There sure was.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we definitely want to have you back on the show again at some point in time, especially if we can get this. I'm coming on Thursday, Meek, so thank you for sharing that information with me. I got to get on board.
Oh, definitely.
Like,
I'll text you the flyer they sent me. I'll do that right
definitely.
Now.
Definitely. So I can push that through to everybody, the Fordham alum. Thank you so much, Meek.
All right. Take care. Good night, guys.
Have a good night.
All right. Bye.
You know, that was a great, great show this evening. Hello.
Keith. Yes.
Y'all, I thought y'all left me. I thought y'all all hung up on me. I'm about to get upset. I'm about to flood y'all Facebook inbox with a whole bunch of spam, text messages. I'm about to leave threatening emails. I almost got out of pocket. Lord help me. That was a great show. That was a great show. And yeah, you rocked it.
Oh, thanks, Keith. I'm just excited for that opportunity, man.
Yeah, I had to sit out the way and just let y'all do y'all thing, you know.
Yes, that was a great, great show. You did such a good job. I'm a proud mother over here. I am so proud.
Holy God.
That's why I had to come on the air. You did such a great job. You made her so comfortable.
That's how producing these guys. Yeah. That's how.
I became a fan. No. I was over here like, oh, this is the show.
Yeah, a big shout out to Shamequa as well. You know, she's meant so much to the basketball world, you know, for the women. And especially with everything that she's gone through in the past few years that we've been made aware of, whether it's through the news or through her own announcements, and just how she's enlightened us and let us know, you know, everything that's going on, and, you know, that there's always a positive ending to a lot of stuff.
Definitely.
Not only that, like somebody like me, I didn't know who she was, but getting on Google and reading, oh my God, she's a great person. Stuff that she, you know, able to accomplish and be able to hide that for so long. You have to be really good at what you're doing to hold all that in. That's my only way, you know, having these issues going on. Because I was reading her bio, like, wow.
And I want to thank you guys for this platform, just for women, for bringing me on and me being able to give women a voice on this platform. I honestly want to thank you guys for this. Keith, you know how it is. Keith, you know how it is being a black woman. How we kind of get pushed to the side sometimes. So I just want to say thank you guys for this platform and letting all this come together from one blog that my first blog I ever posted. So thank you so much, guys.
Yes, I was on it, too. I loved it. At one point in time, we have to have that posted on our page. Somebody shared it in one of my Freaky Friday groups. And usually, that stuff don't be in that group. And I read it. I was like, oh, my God. Like,
wow.
I seen people. I was like, you know, well, whoever know her, call her email personal radio. And that's the thing is going.
And, you know, I also want to go ahead and, you know, and make sure that we get some more of the ladies athletes out here and give them a plateau as well to talk about what they got going on, not just as men, you know, because, like I said, it's such a male-dominated business. You know, we need to have more and more of the ladies step up to the plate and, you know, have a moment as well. And I'm all for it, so.
Definitely, guys. I want to have a charity basketball game in Newark. How about the men? Is for women. I would love to see that.
Oh, I
y'all
got
you. Bring some new friends.
Y'all
bring some new friends, and we meet in the bricks. What about that? I can't play basketball. I'm just trying to meet.
I have no problem crossing over a woman.
What?
I just want to
do. Not dunk
no
on
problem.
None of us, Keith. Like, that's not happening. You're not
to.
Dunking.
See, you should ask Shamequa about that. She'll tell you. I will say the last time. I got to jump in the room. I don't need to talk. I want everybody to just go ahead and think that I'm going to be trying to dunk everything. Nope. I'm spotting up from deep, and I'm letting it fly. I'm dotting
Keith,
everybody
I got
out.
Somebody for your life. Oh, Keith, we need
I'm
to set this. Go ahead on and set this up.
We're going to work on that this summer. This city.
Bring
you need
it.
To do that.
Bring it. I don't care who you are. I got Bring her.
I'm about to call.
I'm going to have my eyes open for any shenanigans.
Keith, I got New York and New Jersey women that's going to come and kick. Oh, Keith, what are you signing up for right now, man? You're not ready.
I ain't scared of New York. I ain't scared of New Jersey. I'm not scared. Y'all come on. I'm from L.A. I'm from South Central L.A. I'm not scared. You remember
well,
how
you bring shit to your guys. Wait a minute. How many players on the team?
Over the building. New York, big city. Don't have any money, y'all. How many what?
I mean, how many basketball players will be on court at one time each team? Six? Is it
five?
Oh, eight?
Jeez.
Okay, I'm going
to
ask
you. Nah,
yeah,
you got
to see this.
We'll bring, what, eight? I say eight apiece.
Bring who
and
you
just let us
bring.
Run.
Bring who you want to bring.
Oh,
whoa,
we
got
some big stuff right
bring.
Now, yo.
Yes,
bring who you
want to
bring. Bring who you want to bring.
We working on this crossover radio
for
things. Let's go.
Let's have something about the summer.
2016 summer. We're going to make it work for the kids.
Yeah,
the charity game. Get on to the kids.
Definitely.
Yeah, we need to. We need to. I got some folks on the East Coast as well. You know, I ain't worried about New York. One of my favorite point guards of all time from New York, Kareem Reed, best kept secret.
Ooh.
Yeah, Harlem. Now what?
Ooh.
Yeah, Harlem World. Now what?
Well,
I come back with Meta and Dan on our test. What? Go ahead.
You want to throw Dan on them too? You bringing Dan with you? You bringing Dan
ain't
out
nobody.
The pocket.
Yup, ain't nobody scared of the East Coast.
All right, I'm bringing Matt, Kia, Essence. Who else I'm bringing? Piff.
Go ahead.
We got French.
Go
we got Leah. Oh, man. We got, man. All right, let's do this. Renee over New York. Little Renee.
Let me throw out a name. Why don't y'all bring out Miss Nobby Nee, a.k.a. the Bob Walker.
Hey, getting the T-shirts and stuff ready. Right. The uniform's ready for y'all.
Don't do Maya, that,
if you listening, if you listening, sweetie, come on. Come on. I've been wanting to cross you over for the longest. Come on.
Demaya, he's been cracking on your knees for a while now. Demaya, he coming for you, man.
Over on the, yeah, the crossover show. Yeah, you're going to see the crossover show. I'll see the crossover show.
Oh, my God. Yo, y'all are something else.
I'm a claws. You already know.
I know.
You already know.
I know. I already know.
Yep. Bring it. What's the date? You know when y'all want to do this?
We gotta put this together. We gotta find a place and a date and start. You know, getting some stuff together.
For sure. Think we scared of New York? I'ma holla at Kenny Anderson. Now what?
Eric, that's a Jersey boy. That's your Baz all day long.
Eric,
that's Nook.
Yeah.
That's Nook all day.
Y'all bring
he was on the
show
last season, too. Yeah.
I will bring
word in the street is that Eric OOG some money out here, yo. Word in the street is that Eric OOG from Zuku a little bit of money helping the kids AAU. I don't know. That's what I heard on the podcast.
One of the Zuku's going to be on the Tasty Tuesdays. We got some of them coming through. I think that's who's coming through, too.
We got to get OG to come. But all right, let's wrap up this show for the audience, guys.
We got Tasty Tuesdays coming tomorrow from 9 to 10 o'clock with O'Dunham and Tony. We got Freaky Friday back on the road with BU and Foxy. Roxy is coming back. And Freestyle Friday is the next Friday. So if you got bars, drop them.
Oh, shoot. That's what it is.
Coming down.
So, Ms. Jada, how can the people reach you?
Okay, I'm on Facebook, Jada Jefferson, Instagram, and Twitter at JAEJ21. In Periscope, JJ Inspires. Hit me up, guys. Just follow me on everything. What you got for him, Keith?
Shoot, you can hit me up. The Real Boss 33 on Instagram, Boss Claus 33 on Twitter, Keith Boss Claus on Facebook, or you can hit us all up on Crossover Radio on the Stadium page on Facebook.
All righty, guys. So thanks for tuning in with us this weekend. Come back next weekend. next Monday, 9 p.m., we'll bring another dynamic show to you.
All right, we out.
Of course, I've played with feet before.
You know you're the biggest.
Yeah, I love feet.
You know I like you.
No.
The toes, I'm not going to get you.
No, no me digan las cosas así. Love to do that for you.
You used to call me on my. You used to. Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city, you got a reputation for yourself now. Everybody knows and I feel left out. Girl, you got me down, you got me stressed out. Cause ever since I left the city, you started wearing less and going out more. Glasses of champagne out on the dance floor. Hanging with some girls I never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city, you and me, we just don't get along. You made me feel like I did you wrong. Going places where you don't belong. Ever since I left the city, you got exactly what you asked for. Running out of pages in your passport. Hanging with some girls I've never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. These days, all I do is wonder if you're bending over backwards for someone else. Wonder if you're rolling up a bag was for someone else. Doing things I taught you, getting nasty for someone else. You don't need no one else, you don't need nobody else, no. Why you never alone? Why you always touching road? Used to always stay at home, be a good girl, you was in the zone. Yeah. You should just be yourself. Right now you're someone else. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need.